You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disease du Jour. I'm your host, Carly Sisson, and in this episode, I talked with Dr. Emily Hellstrom about her research on postoperative ileus and colic patients. The Disease du Jour podcast is brought to you in 2024 by Merck Animal Health. Dr. Hellstrom is a clinical instructor at North Carolina State University in Raleigh. Her research is focused on improving postoperative outcomes for colic patients. Thank you, Dr. Hellstrom, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Carly. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, do you want to start out by giving us a brief overview of your research background and some of your areas of interest?
Yeah, sure. So I am an equine veterinarian. I went to vet school at Texas A&M, where I first got some interest into colics and colic surgery. I remember it was one of my most exciting parts of being a fourth-year student. And then I went to the Equine Medical Center of Ocala to do an internship following vet school, where again, I really enjoyed our colic patients. It was there that I also realized some of the areas of growth that exist for equine research, especially with our colic patients, and just dealing with the postoperative complications that our colics go through, and just really feeling for both the patients and the discomfort that they go through, as well as for the owners. So I think it's really hard to wrap your head around, one, just all that's involved in having a horse that's colicking and goes to surgery, but then to realize that for a lot of them, unfortunately, they still have a very large uphill battle after surgery before the time of discharge, specifically with ileus, where the horses don't regain their normal motility after surgery. And we know that this causes a lot of, again, patient discomfort. There's a lot of nursing care and also client costs that comes with this. And so just my heart going out to my patients and their owners when they're experiencing things like this had me looking into equine research and wanting to contribute. And that's what led me to North Carolina State University, where I completed my PhD with Anthony Blixlager, and have specifically looking at some aspects of equine colic in ways that we can hopefully help prevent some of these postoperative complications.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to jump into a little bit more here. So you were involved in the publication called Postoperative Ileus, Comparative Pathophysiology and Future Therapies. I'd really love to talk more about this publication. First of all, how common is postoperative ileus?
Yeah, so postoperative ileus, like I said, which is where just the normal gut motility doesn't return after surgery at a normal rate. And so, unfortunately, one of the things in equine research that we're working on is making sure that all equine vets and researchers use the same terminology. And that's going to help us really track when these patients are considered to truly have ileus. It's not something that just is a problem with equine vets. Also, in human medicine, they also have a very hard time of quantifying what they say ileus truly is and how they measure it. But overall, we say that, you know, between 0 to 60% of horses have some sort of ileus after their surgery procedures. And an interesting thing that, you know, really makes me excited too, of thinking of not only helping our horse populations, but humans as well, is that human patients very similarly have reported between 2 and 60% incidence rate of ileus after their surgeries. And I think we can all appreciate after these last couple of years that more hospital time is something that we want to avoid for ourselves and for our equine patients, not to mention the costs that even in human healthcare, it costs, they report about $1.5 billion each year attributed to ileus. So it is a large problem in both populations, which makes us really excited that not only can we help our equine patients and the humans that are attached to them, but also some human patients with our work.
Are there any horses that are most at risk, or is it something that happens randomly?
That's an aspect, too, of the research that I'd love to look into. At this moment, we don't have a definitive test before surgery to say, hey, we think this horse is more likely to experience this. There are some risk factors that we do see more commonly. Horses that are having a small intestinal resection, anastomosis, or lesion are more common to have these lesions after, as well as horses that are older. And then in the human side, men are more likely to have ileus than women. And then just things like anesthesia time and some of the drugs that we might use after surgery can make a horse at greater risk. But again, I think that's part of why I really am passionate about helping with figuring out this disease process, is because we know it's complicated. And that also because it's so complicated, we can't really always prepare our clients and our patients for this, because we can't say, oh, I definitely think this horse might be dealing with this after surgery.
Today's Disease du Jour podcast is brought to you by Banamine Flunixin Meglumine Paste from Merck Animal Health. Banamine goes to work quickly to alleviate inflammation and pain associated with musculoskeletal injuries. Don't get caught on call without Banamine. Find out more at MerckAnimalHealthUSA.com. Do not use Banamine in horses intended for human consumption. Do not use in horses showing hypersensitivity to Flunixin Meglumine. The effect of Banamine paste on pregnancy has not been determined. See product label for complete safety information. So what are the current treatment options that are available, and what's the general prognosis for horses that experience postoperative ileus?
Unfortunately, like I said, the pathophysiology of how ileus works is really complex. And we know that there's a neurogenic or neuronal phase to it and the inflammatory phase. And our treatments are trying to kind of focus on both aspects of that, mainly with the inflammatory right now. So we'll have them on things like Flunixin Meglumine and other non-steroidals after surgery to try to cut down on that inflammation. We'll use lidocaine, which again, everyone has some disagreeing thoughts on it, but it does seem to help with patient comfort, and some believe that it could help with motility. We have the patients walking if they're, you know, not too painful or too critical to help stimulate that motility. In human patients, they have them chew gum to kind of help stimulate things. We can't exactly ask our horse patients to do that, but they'll do things about, you know, having a hay bag outside of the stall just to stimulate some of those receptors to try to help get the gut moving. But overall, again, it's very frustrating that we don't have a cure-all for our ileus. And it's more of, if a horse is experiencing ileus, a lot of our treatment is supportive care until their gut motility returns to normal. And like you said, for prognosis, it can be, again, somewhat difficult in that horses that have, for example, small intestinal resection site, which we know is a hard surgery just to begin with, but that have ileus after, are about 30 times less likely to survive to discharge than those patients that don't have ileus after. So it is definitely a very significant problem. And like we said, a lot of it is the nursing care that's needed and to relieve. As we know, horses can't vomit. So when they have ileus and have the fluid back up into their stomach, we have to relieve that by nasogastric intubation. And then also, since they're not eating, then we have to help give them fluid therapy and also try to keep them comfortable, because we know that this also isn't the best thing for them to be experiencing postoperatively. So unfortunately, it is a very serious complication for your horse to have after surgery.
Now, I know that you're interested in researching this further, and you also received a grant from the Morris Animal Foundation to study postoperative ileus associated with colic. So do you want to talk a little bit more about some emerging areas of interest in this research and what you're specifically working on at the moment?
Yeah, of course. So when looking into the postoperative ileus research, again, it is also a very significant problem in human medicine. So we have some tools there to look at of what they're trying to do and understanding how ileus works. And like I said, we understand that there's this initial neurogenic shift in ileus where you have your parasympathetic normal state of your intestine that helps move motility along, shift to a sympathetic. And that's when we think like fight or flight. And that's when that happens, your intestine is told not to move as much because you're just focusing on trying to survive. So you have that initial shift. But then really what propagates this whole disease process, as we think right now, is the inflammation that comes into the wall of the intestine, bringing all these inflammatory cells and their products that really cut down on the motility of the intestine. And that's what we're trying to target, is trying to reduce that inflammation, that if we can reduce it, either we can prevent ileus from happening, or we can make sure that ileus doesn't go on for as many days as it normally would. And so with that, we're looking at, I specifically trained as a cell biologist, so trying to understand the cells of the intestine. And the intestine is pretty incredible in that it has a single cell layer of epithelium cells that keep all of the nasty bacterial products and things in our GI tract from going into our intestinal wall. And so what we were looking at is how we could potentially have a shift in this intestinal barrier function during colic surgery, and that would help propagate this whole inflammatory response. We know just from our work and also from other great colic researchers like Lazowski that the intestine is an inflammatory state at the time of colic surgery, which just kind of sets it up to have these changes in our intestinal barrier function, which then again leads to this really high inflammatory phase that leads to our complications. And so we are looking at specific cell types, and one that human medicine is really interested in is enteric glial cells. And so there are these sensing cells that are within our intestine. And so we can think between the distension and all the handling that's needed in colic surgery, that these cells are activated. And we know that they release things that can cause the intestinal barrier to become leaky in other species. So at my work with Morris was, one, figuring out a way to culture these cells from equine intestine, and then to expose them to inflammatory compounds like interleukin-1 beta that we know is present at the time of colic surgery, and then seeing if what they produce can cause equine intestinal cells to act leaky, which is what we saw. And then, so trying to see, okay, so it seems like the glial cells are sensing something during our colics and could produce things that make things leakier and lead to our postoperative complications, and trying to think of ways that we can prevent it. And we're actually looking into some biologics. So we know that we use things like IRAP commonly in our patients for osteoarthritis. And so we actually looked into serum, because again, we use that, you know, IRAP is a conditioned serum. We use serum in eyes for corneal ulcers and things for its anti-inflammatory state. And we all actually have seen in our recent work hints that putting serum in the intestine with those intestinal cells can help prevent the leakiness that is caused by these sensing glial cells and what they're producing in colic.
That'll be really interesting to keep following that research, and hopefully we'll be able to bring some updates to our audience as that progresses. But yeah, really fascinating and really important work. Do you have any additional areas of interest in terms of improving postoperative outcomes for colic patients, or anything else you want to add about your research or the subjects before we wrap up?
Yeah, of course. So yeah, so we're very interested, like I said, in the intestinal barrier and how we can help protect that. And something too that we're just, you know, I'm interested in working with equine surgeons in the future of the ways that we do colic surgery. Something that really struck me when I was looking into ileus was that a common rodent model of ileus that they use in human medicine and basic science is by doing an exploratory laparotomy, basically like we do for colic surgery, and running the entire intestine, so between their fingers or Q-tips, because it is a rodent. But very similar to what we do in colic surgery, where we have to milk the whole intestine to find where our lesions are. But doing that in rodents alone is able to cause ileus, and it's very reproducible. And so I'm just curious about, you know, there's the methods that we need as equine vets, and I would believe as equine surgeons, to be able to look for these lesions and also try to cut down on distension. But it will be interesting to see if we can perhaps create some more less traumatic efforts in our surgeries where it doesn't need as much manipulation, and if that would help cut down on some of these complications like ileus.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I think, you know, it's great that you're working really hard to improve survival outcomes and just, you know, make things a lot more comfortable for these patients. It's nothing's more devastating than when they go through the surgery and then the outcome still isn't great. So I'm really interested in continuing to follow along with this research as it progresses, and we'll keep all of our listeners updated. So thank you so much, Dr. Hellstrom, for joining us, and thank you so much to our audience for listening, and thank you to our sponsor, Merck Animal Health, for allowing us to have these discussions. If you have any questions or suggestions for the podcast, please send me an email at csison@equinenetwork.com. That's csison@equinenetwork.com.